It's out of here! Home run, Lenny Dykstra!
Stairs rips one into the night, deep into right, way out of here.
The Phillies win the game on a base hit by Mitch Williams at 4:40 in the morning.
Swing and a miss, struck him out. It's wacky, wonderful. Bunch of throwbacks has won the National League pennant.
Welcome to Continued Success. I am Justin Clue, the head guy at The Good Fight, and with me is Liz Rocher of Yahoo Sports. Hello, Liz.
Hello, Justin.
Liz, tomorrow we're going to wake up in a world where Bryce Harper has not signed a contract, and frankly, I'm comforted by that because I if we woke up in a world where he was on a baseball team, I don't think I would recognize that planet, and I wouldn't know how to go about. My entire reality would be shaken. So at this point, I hope he doesn't sign with anyone because it's just become too ingrained a part of human life that Bryce Harper's just a free agent floating around out there. He's a conversation topic to be screamed about on sports radio. I don't know. What do you think?
Does he play baseball? I thought he was a career almost ready to play baseballer at this point. A career looking at the deals guy.
Oh,
it seems
yeah.
like that's all he does now. A career commenting on other people's Instagram posts guy.
A career cryptically tweeting back at video game accounts with just a pair of eyeballs guy. Yeah.
He's having some fun. Let's not pretend. This is stressful for us, and it's probably stressful for him, and Scott Boras is trying real, real hard, but he's got to be having some fun with this.
I'm glad somebody is. I mean, he would be the only...
not us.
He would be the only person who could be, right? I mean, I don't think Scott Boras is necessarily having a good time this offseason. I think he's bummed. I think he's feeling the heat because he's desperate to get more money than Machado. But that doesn't seem like that's necessarily a possibility. So I think he's not. I don't think Scott Boras is having a very merry, pun-filled offseason either. I think Bryce Harper might be the only one who's just like, look, if he's real about it, and he's just like, look, I'm going to be paid a sum of money that will be either easy or very easy to make me comfortable for the rest of my life. So no matter what happens, I come out a winner of sorts. So I think he's the only person who could possibly be having a fun offseason, and I'm glad that he presumably is.
I mean, Boras, like last offseason, I think there were points where he was pretty vocal about the free agent market. I think maybe he was at the beginning this year, but for the most part, he's been quiet. He said some stuff. Yeah, you know, he had a scrum during the winter meetings, but for the most part, he has spoken through his hand puppets.
Yes.
Names here, John Heyman, whoever the hell it is today, you know, the people that...
No, it's John Heyman.
Whoever are his, you know, his unofficial PR people. You know, but he hasn't said anything, and it's because this is, you know, no joking matter. I think Eric Hosmer is a Boras client, isn't he? And that was his concern last year, but he wasn't going to get a Bryce Harper deal. Like, this is serious, ridiculous money. This is a huge contract. This is not an offseason for Scott Boras to be making stern comments about the free agent market. This is... Scott Boras is spending every day figuring out how the hell he's going to convince someone to pay $325 million over 10 years for Bryce Harper.
Yeah. Hosmer is a Scott Boras client. Yes, by the way.
Excellent. Thank you for checking.
But also, yeah, I Scott Boras hasn't even really had a chance to like get cute this offseason, which is like kind of a shame, I think, as well.
So it's fun when he gets all... snippy.
Right.
When like, he gets all very floridly Boras with the language and the like when agents get angry, man, like they because you could tell that they for the most part will compose their own stuff. Like they'll compose when they're angry and they'll send it right out. But like a GM is not gonna do that. Like that's why it's more fun for agents to get angry. You know, when Dan Lozano was like, someone is leaking figures and it is the worst thing that has ever happened in the history of free agency. Whoever is doing this is trying to sabotage my client. I loved that. I just love that just completely overblown drama from the agents. It's my favorite thing.
But no, this offseason has simply been John Heyman sitting alone in a warehouse, tweeting out things that are not
dirty underwear and a cigar.
Things that are not information on to Twitter. And then we all digest it and read it. And, you know, there's people who felt like, oh, he's like debasing himself, turning every bit of nugget that Scott Boras whispers in his ear into something to tweet about. But at the same time, has John Heyman been ever more exposed than now? I would argue probably as a more recognizable name as like, oh yeah, you're that like inane baseball writer nobody trusts anymore. But at the same time, you know, he can come back with, yes, but you have heard of me. And I think he's sort of a mascot for this offseason at this point, a guy who, for whatever reason, is scrambling to make something out of nothing every day. We gave up on that. We were good at it. I will say this, and we continue to be. But like when I say we gave up on it, I mean, I personally, the Bryce Harper news cycle is just not a thing to me. And I feel like to you and even to John to an extent, though John has had a looser grip on his sanity, I think, than the rest of us. But you are.
We love you, John.
You do just kind of eventually, you give up. You're just like, you're right. Something will happen eventually. And when it happens, it'll be news. Until then, this is all just back and forth. And it is weird. Like the Phillies wound up this team that is really the only realistic team where he could go. And all these little whispers John Heyman is putting out there are either like proven to be wrong by other sources, or they're just little blips of like, no, this story's still happening. Trust me. No, it's not. Don't assume it's definitely the Phillies, because I heard that maybe the Padres have not ruled out signing Bryce Harper. And you're like, okay, buddy, whatever. He really is. He's come to symbolize this offseason in human form, just absolutely nothing going on. But having to spin that wheel anyway, having to keep churn out that just nothing after nothing. And I wonder, again, we're talking about Bryce Harper having fun this offseason. I have a feeling no one is having less fun than John Heyman. I'll put that out there. I think John Heyman might be utterly miserable.
He might be. I mean, he is why a guy like Bob Nightingale and his mistakes and his often being wrong, his typos and tweets, it's why he'll always be an inside joke for people, you know, who pay attention to baseball, and why Heyman will be well known, because Heyman just puts it all out there. Like, I have, like, as much as I make fun of him, I have a respect, because this is what he does. He doesn't even have a home anymore. He doesn't have anyone he writes for. He was with,
oh God, I was like, wait, what?
No, he's got a home in the park. Listen, he doesn't have a metaphorical home for his writing. He's just tweeting. There's no fan cred anymore, or fan, whatever the hell it was. You know, that's not anything anymore. He's not with anyone, and so he's trying to rustle up a job.
It's fan balls.
Fan nuts.
No, it wasn't fan. What the hell was it? Fan bin. Fan trash.
Oh, you're really the hell, close what the to hell fan was trash. It was something.
It was something that basically just existed because he was connected to it, and that's not a thing anymore. So yeah, that is. It's such a straight. It's kind of a surreal situation, because at this point, you know, we know John Heyman from when he was a baseball writer, and that was a point in time when he would tweet something out and you'd be like, oh, something's going on. Now he's kind of like, the way the offseason is gone, the way the biggest deals have and have not unfolded, the way that there's far more silence than there is talking, the way that we've had to receive everything this offseason, it's really put him, I don't mean to say this like as necessarily an insult to him, I just mean like, as far as receiving information goes, it's kind of put him on the same level as these like painfully transparent fake accounts, where like they say something that they've heard and it like might be true, but it's just because they're saying it as broadly as John Heyman is forced to tweet it. Like, it's forced everyone on the same playing field of ignorance. And like, these national writers are kind of like exposed. Like, what am I doing here down here in this like gutter? And these like fake account people are just like, hello, welcome. We live down here.
I've talked about this before. I think we're seeing it, and I'm going to try and rustle up some answers to this, but I think we're seeing a change in baseball reporting, because the only people who are talking, I believe, are the agents. I don't think there are any, I mean, team sources, like, I think Ken Rosenthal has some, Jeff Passan may have some, but who else does? Like, there aren't team sources anymore. Like, some MLB.com guys might have them, but you know, there are always great pains taken to say these guys are independent. They get nothing, you know, more than anyone else. So whether that's true or not is debatable. But like, I think we're seeing a change in how trades and stuff are being reported, because teams might be putting stuff out there, but it's never going to be a team sources say. They're never going to admit that it's team sources anymore. Agents are going to be the only guys who are going to be willing to talk. Like, that's such a huge thing. It's why we've started to hear about signings right when they happen, because no one's saying anything anymore. And that's such a huge difference from, you know, I think of the Cliff Lee signing and stuff like that, and like the lead up and the hours leading to it, you know, or, you know, anything like that, that, you know, in the last, you know, jump back a couple of years and go 10 years before that, like, that's how it happened. So I think we're just going to have to start adjusting our expectations. And I think some of the writers are going to have to as well.
Wouldn't Scott Boras just have more fun tweeting this stuff himself? Like, we're talking about him not having as quippy a time as he typically does over the winter when he's wheeling and dealing and manipulating writers and agents and everybody. Don't you think he'd just be having more fun if he just got his own Twitter account and was just throwing weird shit out there whenever he felt like it, instead of having to like text John Heyman's BlackBerry and like get him to say the information in the way that he wants it said? Like, what is it even worth having puppets at this point?
That's too, I feel, easy. Like,
he's missing out.
It's too easy. You
gotta cut out the middleman.
No, because that's if you know, if there's stuff out there, the point is that you don't know where it comes from. The point is that no one knows. Like, who is saying this thing about Bryce Harper? Could it be true? Could it not be? Like, if it's from Boras, everyone's just going to assume, oh, he's lying to, you know, move the market in the favor of his client. I think, you know, that it's easy and also dumb. If he just tweets it out, like, he could tweet out whatever he wanted, but no one would take it seriously. The only way it works, these type of, you know, whisper campaigns to scare a team into signing someone, the only way it works is if he, you know, puts together a network of, you know, of John Heyman's, the most obvious
agents
in the world.
See, that's my point, though. If it's so transparent, if we know what's going on, then everyone above us in the information circles is aware of what's going on, which means everyone is aware of what's going on. When John Heyman's the only one reporting anything because there's nothing to report, and it's all straight, we all know it's straight from Scott Boras' mouth anyway, then what the hell's the point?
It's the veneer. It's the appearance of, it's like, you know, a slight flavoring.
We're just getting a Boras entree with a garnish of Heyman to really.
It's like, it's like stone transition. Soup.
Oh, brutal offseason.
It's not over yet. It is not over yet. It doesn't officially end until the regular season starts. So we've got another month. So enjoy, everyone. We'll continue to be just as unhinged as we've been, only probably more so.
Well, folks, I have great news, and that is that you have just spent the last about 13 and a half minutes listening to this podcast, and we are now 13 and a half minutes closer to Bryce Harper signing a contract, whenever that will be. But in the meantime, Liz, I thought we could have a fun little discussion about free agency. And, you know, this came up on Twitter, and I wanted to bring it to you as well, that with the money the Phillies would be giving Bryce Harper, and this was the whichever afternoon it was when someone was like, I don't know, would you give him $400 million? And like for some reason that became something we were talking about. Every one of these narratives is just like the main narrative with the knob turned slightly in one direction or another, or a particular switch flipped or flipped back off. And in this case it was, well, what if we just made the money a little more? And like tomorrow it'll be, well, what if there were two Bryce Harpers and the one was just horizontally through the other one's torso, and that's just how the guy was.
What if we had a time machine and brought back baby Bryce Harper and raised and had him be raised by Bryce Harper, the old Bryce Harper, and his wife?
And then when the time came to choose between baseball and football, we would get to see what he chose. Yeah, that would be, oh man. See, now this is a topic. But no, let's go back to the boring thing, which is, of course, that with the hundreds of millions of dollars that the Phillies are going to be paying for Bryce Harper, they could obviously get several far lesser options that are currently available on the free agent market. And they also have areas of need outside of, you know, needing a MVP all-star corner outfielder. So that being said, let's assume we live in a world where the Phillies are not going to land Bryce Harper, and instead they have to choose three free agents currently on the market, that are currently available and on the free agent market instead of Bryce Harper. So Liz, I don't know, you want to go back and forth, if you want to pick somebody. I'm sort of ambushing you with this question, and I already have something of an answer. So I don't know. I mean, why don't you go first? Who's the first person who's not Bryce Harper, who's currently a free agent and available, that you would put on the Phillies?
Now I've forgotten his first name. Craig
this
Kimbrell.
Is a good start.
No, because I have a list up in front of me, and I just, because you tell me, you know, like, give me the names of free agents. I'm like, oh God, are there any?
No.
What is a free agent?
Trick question. So every player but Bryce Harper has signed.
I brought up I'm bringing up a list. Like, no, I know one off the top of my head I'd want. It's Kimbrel, the guy with the bird arms. And I'm like, that, I can't say that, but that's who I'd want.
Yes, I have terrible news because you've said it. But at the same time, I get that pick. Solid pick. May actually happen in reality. I'm not as worried about landing Kimbrel with Robertson and Dominguez in the fold. I think that's a wise choice. I think somebody who was like, I was okay with those two, and then when one of them has a bad year or gets hurt or something, and it's like, crap, we should have gotten another guy. But I'm not as worried about securing Kimbrel. I kept coming back to Adam Jones because I love Adam Jones.
Oh yes, I wanted them to sign him instead of McCutcheon. I love McCutcheon, but Adam Jones is my heart belongs to him always.
Can you imagine? I mean, there was a point when if they happened to have McCutcheon and Adam Jones in the same outfield, I mean, there was a point where that would have been easily, without even knowing who the third person was, probably the best outfield in baseball. Obviously those days are behind us. Adam Jones is now 33. You want to talk about a guy who you haven't heard a peep out about or from the entire offseason?
Yeah, I don't know what the deal is. I mean, he wasn't that bad. What is the deal?
Just nothing. There's just no word about it. He hit 281 in 2018.
I was just, I'm just looking up his stats now. Like, the only knock against him is his age, because he's been remarkably consistent, except for like 2016. He had a slightly down year, but beyond that, he's great.
Yeah.
What is wrong with everyone? He played 145 games last year.
I know. I was expecting much, much less, but you want to he's just a product of this painfully slow offseason machine we've been watching. And I mean, teams have a place for an Adam Jones. I mean, the Phillies had a place for one. Then they got Andrew McCutcheon. I don't know. Depending on what they plan to do with the remaining outfielders in camp, I mean, you want to assume Herrera has a spot at this point, but who knows? Nick Williams, Roman Quinn, Aaron Altherr was headed to camp not too long ago.
Oh, he still exists. Yeah.
So like having Adam Jones is, I guess that'd be more like saying like, look, we're expecting you would expect Adam Jones to make the team. So that would kind of thin, that would leave very few space for the guys they do have in camp. And I think they're interested in seeing what that group of outfielders can still do.
I would rather Adam Jones than Aaron Altair right now, straight up, no question.
Right, but then what job does he have? Fifth outfielder?
He doesn't have a job. That's assuming that Aaron Altair would get any playing time at all, which he's not likely to. I mean, that might move up because it depends on how long Odubel Herrera is out. If he's, you know, if whatever is wrong with his hamstring is long term. So
I'm thinking in terms of, like, let's say it's closer to the end of camp. They know pretty much what everyone's job is going to be, but they have an open spot on the bench. We're not on the bench, but they have an open non-starting position and Adam Jones is still available. I mean, you know, he's an effective player. He's a great teammate, as we've seen, through all of his years with the Orioles in Baltimore. And I like him. So he's available. You can afford him. And the Phillies need a lot of depth, which kind of fueled my next choice, which was Marvin Gonzalez. And I mentioned him because he is exactly the sort of player that the Phillies did not have last year that they seemed to really want. They really wanted Scott Kingery to be this kind of versatile player. And if you look at the Phillies depth chart right now, it's all the starting players and then Scott Kingery backing up three of the four infielders.
It's not pretty.
And then after that, there's really nobody there. So
yeah, they've got some pickup. They still have a bunch of pickups to make and they'll do it, but like they have to, you know, get going.
Yeah. And Gonzalez has been, I mean, again, maybe things will be different this year. The Phillies have, like, you know, a starting shortstop. It won't be a committee decision anymore. Who knows what the results of training camp are going to be, what decisions they make, how playful and fluid they're going to be with the lineup and the defensive outlook every night. But at the same time, you got the impression last year that they really wanted a Ben Zobrist in the fold. And since you can't get Ben Zobrist, Marwin Gonzalez is available, and he's coming off a down year. He had a tremendous 2017 where he actually got some MVP votes with the Astros when he was 28 years old. He hit .303 with a .907 OPS, 23 home runs. He plays every position in the infield. He's listed as shortstop, first base, and left field, but you know, you assume if you needed to, you could put him somewhere else. I don't know. He just covers a lot of ground as one guy, and he seems to be an effective player, and he's a Scott Boras client, which I just realized. I don't know. He's somebody that it seems like the Phillies were missing last year, and with so much depth to fill still on the roster, I don't know. It seemed like it would be a get that would make sense for them. So I don't know. What do you think?
I don't disagree. I think that's good. Like, I'm still looking at pitching. I mean, like, they've added some guys this year. They haven't added any starting pitchers. Like, everyone can argue, you know, forever about Dallas Keuchel, but why not? What's the downside at this point?
That's kind of where I'm at. And it is, I've been using the word default to describe acquiring Dallas Keuchel because, you know, he was what, like probably number two on the starting pitcher power rankings among the free agents under Patrick Corbin. And he's still available. So why not? And if you have like a bunch of stats proving why not, we all know what kind of pitcher Dallas Keuchel is. We know, you know, that one, he was another guy who, he had like a really great season. I believe it was it 2015? He had a tremendous year in Houston. 2015. He won the Cy Young. And I know some people think that year was an outlier because he came back the next year and didn't look as hot. Bounced back in 2017 when he was an all-star. And last year he led the league in starts. He also led the league in hits surrendered. So yeah, that's a problem. But he also won a gold glove. And isn't that what you want from your pitcher, Liz? A pitcher who can field his position. That's always priority number one. So, but no, I do think that why not is kind of where you land on that. Why not and who else? Because you look at the rest of the starting pitcher availability on the free agent market, and there's not a lot of options, as I feel like we've recently discussed. And the Phillies' own rotation could certainly use a boost. Like, there's a chance they put those guys out there, and we see exactly from Nick Pivetta what people have been hoping to see for a couple of years, and maybe one of these other guys like Vince Velasquez or Zach Eflin really figures something out. But it still feels like the Phillies have two starting pitchers they know of and then sort of a blur of chaos behind them. And with a team that's improved so much, even now, on among the position players. It seems odd that they wouldn't do something else to boost the rotation. I don't know. It's not as a big a priority for some people, and I think for honestly, just locking up Aaron Nola was if that was the only move they made for the rotation this offseason, I mean, okay, that was important. So let's check that off, I guess. But at the same time, why was there only time for one thing? And Dallas Keuchel's still available, for God's sake. I mean, didn't we acquire Jake Arrieta last year for the same reason? He was available. He's a good pitcher. He's an established veteran.
At this point, he's gonna get a much smaller contract than he should, just like Jake Arrieta, yep. Most likely. I mean, Arrieta's production last year didn't really bear that out, but I'm hopeful for this year. But like, I'm looking at, you know, something I haven't done since, you know, Patrick Corbin signed. I'm looking at Patrick Corbin's numbers and comparing them to Dallas Keuchel's numbers, and the biggest difference between them is 2 years and a Cy Young award. Like, Patrick Corbin is 29 years old. Dallas Keuchel is 31. I think he has a better track record of success overall than Patrick Corbin does. And Patrick Corbin got a ridiculous contract that I in no way think
after
he deserves.
After 1 year. Yeah,
I don't,
exactly.
After, like, everyone was just drooling all over Patrick Corbin, and I did not want any part of it. I like Dallas Keuchel a whole lot more just on the whole. You know, it's just my personal preference. I think they should sign him. He's not going to get that Corbin contract because I think if he wanted that, or if he was going to get one, he would have it already. So I would like the Phillies to find a way to sign him. I think they need him. Whether they sign Harper or not, they can still afford him, and they still need him. What? It's just money. It's someone else's money, but again, it's just money. He will. There's more. He's got a lot more.
You know, I think when a free agent, at the beginning of an offseason like this, where you know the Phillies are going to be in play for a lot of free agents, you can go down the list and come up with reasons not to sign just about anybody. But when people in Philadelphia hear that someone who has good qualities as a baseball player is like the Phillies are pushing hard enough that he's in the stadium, you know, negotiating or talking or being met with by the front office, suddenly that player becomes the most important person in the entire fucking universe. Like, there is no one else who's going to make that. The Phillies have to sign him to stick it in the other team's faces, because the team's not going to make sense without them anymore. And then, like Patrick Corbin, sometimes they just go to another team and you got to come back from that. And that high just kind of like suddenly you realize, like, oh, right, I'm sitting here and I'm at work and I was just screaming about how Patrick Corbin is the only thing that could make the 2019 Phillies season worth it. But that can't be true because we're going to have to push on without him. And I don't know. There's just like an enthusiasm, a wave of like ecstasy that washes over everyone when they know the Phillies are seriously pursuing a free agent of some note. And Patrick Corbin, if you remember that afternoon, we all went crazy because someone took a picture of Patrick Corbin on the Jumbotron wearing a Phillies hat. And like, that's how that story got broken, that the Phillies were entertaining Patrick Corbin that afternoon. And we all went nuts. We all went crazy. And I think Dallas Keuchel, if he's your consolation prize, that's a hell of a consolation prize. Might not work out, might not be the style or be able to put up the numbers that the Phillies needed from another starting pitcher, but why not? Exactly. So I accidentally gave you all three of my picks in Marwin Gonzalez, Dallas Keuchel, and Adam Jones. So if there's anybody else that interests you, feel free to let us know, Liz.
There is not. I'm going to say that's the end of the people the Phillies should spend any serious money on.
Well, let me ask you this. What about...
Didn't they just sign a backup catcher?
Like, well, that's what I was going to say. Don't they need a backup catcher that you drop off from JT Realmuto to Andrew Knapp,
who shouldn't
probably be guaranteed a job at this point?
I mean, Drew Butera is a Philly now. He's a guy.
He is a guy. Yes, that is. I cannot deny that. Drew Butera is a guy. But we're talking about the free agent market. This is who's on it. Martin Maldonado. 33-year-old Matt Wieters. That is it.
And that's it. I think that's kind of the thing. They don't. Wow. Who did they sign?
Who sign?
I mean, who do the Phillies sign there? Like, if they
Out of those two, well, they both generated the same amount of WAR last year, 0.9. Martin Maldonado is 1 year younger than Matt Wieters. I'm not looking at full scouting reports for either of them, but you know, Wieters has fallen off probably ever since his best Baltimore days are far behind him. So since joining the Nationals, he hasn't really put together too many effective seasons at the plate. But again, that's not really what you're looking for from a backup catcher. Maybe a guy who can come in as like a late pinch hitting power threat at some point, but mostly you want somebody who knows where his shin guards are. And Matt Wieters was one of the best defensive catchers in baseball, I think, for a little while. He was definitely somebody who knew how to handle a pitching staff. So I don't know. I guess probably just because I've seen more of Wieters during his playing mm-hmm. career than I did of Maldonado, that I'd give it to Wieters. Matt Wieters, backup catcher on a 1 year deal. It's not the worst sounding thing in the world, right?
Well, and the Phillies love them some old backup catchers. Wilson Ramos. I mean, there was AJ Ellis. Remember that guy? Around at some point. AJ Ellis was right. There. He was 1,000 years old.
The Phillies broke up the Clayton Kershaw AJ Ellis marriage, and there were like actual tears shed, and it was all so we could have AJ Ellis for like 8 weeks at the end of the season, just because they had traded Carlos Ruiz. Wow, what a bummer of a news cycle that was. Well, Matt Wieters is.
I have to say though, before we move off of catchers. Jorge Alfaro is looking mighty fine these days.
So did everybody see the picture? Was it the Marlins account that tweeted this out?
No, Alfaro himself tweeted, and I, through my job, I have access to Getty Images, and so I'm looking, because he tweeted a Getty image. You can see the, the watermark there. But I'm like, oh, so they must have more, and they do. So I'm looking him up. He's looking so good, guys. My God, he's lost some weight. He's grown his hair out. He's figured out the beard situation.
Yeah, he made it work. That hair.
He's looking so like there's a picture of him walking into the Marlins facility with, like he's wearing a pair of skinny black jeans and like a backwards baseball cap and some sunglasses. I'm like, my God, the amount of tail he has got to be getting. Like it's insane. I mean, it's the only thing I could think about right now, like how much better it has to be for him to be like in a warmer climate for the entire year where there is a large Latinx population. Like he'll be appreciated. He's so good looking.
Do you think that the Phillies are in danger of having their ex win the breakup in the form of Jorge Alfaro? Because already it seems like he's doing that. I mean, obviously Real Muto is an upgrade, and that's great. It could be great. I mean, open to an extension now that he's out of Miami. So that's great. And, presumably he'll have a terrific year, and people have said, look, he's been playing in the NL East. So it's not like he's even a stranger to the Phillies pitching staff. But at the same time, look at this picture. Damn.
I know. And I have to tell you, even after the Phillies signed JT Realmuto, you could put four, four dudes in front of me, and one of them could be him. I don't know if I'd pick him out. I looked him up on Getty, and I'm looking at some pictures. I'm like, all right, he's got a bland sort of, D-grade boy band cuteness about him. I can get behind that. There's a picture of him, though, from photo day. He's got a bat on his shoulder. He's got, the Phillies cap on. He's in the pinstripes. The bat's resting on his shoulder, and he's looking upwards just a little bit, and I'm just having a good time imagining, what is he looking at? Is there a bug? Did someone wave a shiny toy?
Just a photographer.
Is it an animated
photographer
bird?
Jangling his like keys, what? trying to get his attention, get him to smile. That's part of the industry.
Well, and his look is inscrutable. Like, here, let me, I will send this to you via Slack, and you can see if you can describe it better than me.
So what was he being asked to do, I guess, is the question. If they were like, now give me wistful.
It, like, it doesn't look intentional. It looks like,
and then they,
did
and,
someone
they,
say something?
And then they went up with there. It. They just were like, oh yeah, I like the improvised look in this one, where he just appears to be like, What the hell is that? Like a snake is crawling out of the air vent across the room or something. Yeah, that's a interesting choice, photographer. Mm-hmm. I am not in your field, so I, of course, if this is what they felt was their best work, that's fine. But it does raise some questions. Like, is it so? Okay, wait. No, that depth perception. Is he looking at the top of his bat?
Right.
It's or really just hard up at the ceiling. Huh, what a strange
photo. The rest
photo.
Of his photo, by you, the way, except for one where he's smiling, the rest of them, he looks like he is taking prison photos. He does not look happy in any way.
I got to tell you, this feels more and more like a Lifetime movie where the husband leaves his wife for a younger woman and then finds out he has nothing in common with her and then sees his ex-wife thriving in a small mountain town where she inherited a gift shop from her uncle, who turns out to be Santa Claus.
Meanwhile, he, you know, his his new girlfriend or wife becomes obsessed with him, keeps him
right.
Captive
oh,
in a pseudo, you know, misery scenario.
She's absolutely a serial killer, and yeah, that part that's the third act twist that you see coming the entire time.
Yeah, that makes it a Lifetime movie, because up till then it was Hallmark. That twist there makes it a Lifetime movie.
I feel like an idiot. You're absolutely right. I mixed my brands there. That sucks. All right. Well, we've cleared out the 2019 free agent market for you. So, yeah, if there's anybody else on there. And I brought that up because somebody had been saying, it just came from the broader argument you see out there of people not wanting Bryce Harper to be on the Phillies. Now,
idiots.
You can't say
just morons.
I'm sure we all saw today that there was a traffic accident of some kind on the highway in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. And the news chopper overhead was getting pictures of some of the aftermath. And Liz, you saw this, right? That in the aftermath next to it on a, I guess it's somebody wrote in chalk or something. It just said sign Harper in huge letters so that the news chopper would see it. So people want Bryce Harper to be signed. I think that's like, all right. I was like, in a way I was relieved because you've seen enough people have enough time to mull things over that they're finally reaching the point where they're like, oh God, do we even want Bryce Harper on this team? And I just think that's crazy. Like for the same reason that we're saying, yeah, why not with Dallas Keuchel? Why not, but louder and more excitedly about Bryce Harper? I mean, I've just seen the craziest stuff. One guy said that he didn't want Bryce Harper because he had never carried his team to a World Series. And then said he'd rather wait for Mike Trout, which is another prevailing argument we've seen throughout the offseason. There's about 2 weeks there where it was, why sign Bryce Harper when you might be able to sign Mike Trout in the future? But Mike Trout also hasn't led his team to a World Series. And then when faced with that information, this person said, well, Harper's from Vegas. I'd rather have a Philly guy in Mike Trout.
No.
And that's kind of like where we're at, where we know so little that we're defining people based on where they're from. And I'm not decrying that, personality traits come from the place where you were born, obviously, but we're not talking about a scientific examination here. We're talking about guys who people only know from watching them on TV play baseball and then making connections to that, to where they're from based on what they've seen there. And that's just kind of the level of the argument I've seen as far as not wanting Bryce Harper on the team. I think there's some questions to be raised about how much you pay to get him on the team, but I just can't see there being a number that he will accept that the Phillies couldn't offer. And I would never feel bad about an amount of money the Phillies paid for Bryce Harper, I guess is my point. Like barring like a cartoon or cartoonishly high number where it's like we're talking about them like losing assets or something, having to Airbnb certain sections of Citizens Bank Park, like as barring obviously that any amount of money would be fine. And I know we just had one of our writers, Evan, write something on The Good Fight today that was about statistically he is not worth the amount of the huge amounts of money that he wants. And I guess my response to all of it is just like, you might be right. I don't care. You know, I don't care what he's worth. I don't care if it's an overpay. I think that he's someone that he's attainable. The Phillies have money, and if their job is truly to make the team better, I mean, that's why they're in kind of like this unique, weirdly unique spot this offseason, that you have all these teams that are just not improving their teams. The Phillies are the most active in improving their team. And this is kind of like, this is kind of like the put up or shut up moment where it's like, all right, you guys have bothered to make yourselves better. You are the only team. I know John Heyman keeps saying, like, whispering other teams' names just for the hell of it, just to keep the story alive. But it's you. It's the Phillies and Bryce Harper. It's just that's who it is. And if it's not them, then it's going to be some weird side deal that Bryce Harper didn't really want to take, but kind of wound up having to. It's the Phillies and Bryce Harper. They need to finish this up whenever they do. But I don't think there's a question about where he's going to end up. I really think it's got to be the Phillies. It's just painful how long it's taken. And signing Bryce Harper is going to be how the Phillies finally just like put the final stake in, where it's like, all right, yes, we want to win, and we want to win badly enough that we made this very obvious thing happen. And it just doesn't matter how much money you spend to do that.
The idea of putting an arbitrary monetary value on players is really baffling to me. I know that there are calculations like dollars per war. I frankly think all of that is bullshit. I've looked at it. I understand how it works. I think it's dumb because the market decides. Like, you know how much Bryce Harper is worth? Harper's worth how much the deal he's willing to take. He's worth how much he says. He's worth how much a team is able to pay for him. Putting an arbitrary value on Harper's contribution now or in the future is, I really think it's dumb. And it exists just to create arguments in the community. It exists to create, like, a concrete thing, to create surety when there is none of that. You know, there's no sureness here. No one knows anything. Like, it baffles me that you could say Bryce Harper is not worth this. Like, who says? He's maybe worth that if the team is willing to pay that much for him. Like, is Manny Machado worth what the Padres are paying for him? Yes. You know why we know? Because they're paying him. That's how much they're paying him. That is how you know he's worth that. Because that's what they're paying him.
Yeah, I'm at a point where I try not to make it. I feel like you got to peel away your delirium a little bit at this point. And I feel like we did that on Hitting Season last week, where I mentioned someone had said to me, like, you know, everybody keeps bitching about this front office and how they're not doing anything. They've done nothing but improve the team and make a bunch of deals that we all said were all good deals, and like that's true. But I do feel like every time we have a conversation like this, it's just like how much of the conversations we've had this off season are we having because someone else in media was just like, well, nothing's going to happen, but we need something to talk about. So let's just insert an absurd narrative into the conversation, see if it catches on anywhere. And that'll just be our content for the week. Like, we're going to look back on this off season and be like, wow, remember those 3 weeks where we talked about like Bryce Harper doesn't eat lettuce. Is that going to affect his personality down the line? And like at the time we'll be like, oh yeah, no, this is good stuff. We're filling out an hour podcast with this bullshit. And then later we'll look back and be like, what the hell were we talking about?
Remember the time when those Nationals super fans said the team is actually better without Bryce Harper and he was hurting them? Wow. Remember that?
That was
happened, everyone.
Yeah.
Ungrateful dicks. I know. All of them.
I know that John Stolness has put together something of a not an oral history, but sort of a tweeted history of this.
A journal of crazy.
And I'm very anxious to find out what I've forgotten, because I keep going back to I can remember the phase where everyone was talking about Mike Trout and how that was a better option than Bryce Harper. There were points where we thought the Phillies were going to sign Manny Machado. We're like, that was, oh yeah, it's not Harper, it's Machado. And I think we started.
The construction worker was the swaying point.
The construction worker, the meeting in Las Vegas, where the Phillies flew out to Las Vegas to meet with Bryce Harper, the White Sox hiring all of Bryce Harper's relatives and friends in an attempt
Manny Machado's
relatives. Yeah. It's, wow. See, it's a blur at this point. The Dodgers suspiciously clearing space, but then never really significantly entering the fray. The Giants kind of winding up in the mix at the last minute, which again, I feel like was never really as serious as anyone made it sound. I say that they'll probably just sign him tomorrow.
Well, and I've been thinking, like, what possible reason? Like, Bruce Bochy said he's leaving. If Bryce Harper wants to pick his own manager, the best place to go would be the Giants, because they've already said that they're looking
for
a new one.
So what do you think about Bryce Harper and Gabe Kapler working together?
I don't know. I really don't. I have, like, we know who Bryce Harper is publicly. Like, we see, like, the view of him that we see from Philadelphia is vastly different than what Nationals fans see, because you might have retweeted these tweets. You know, someone said, Bryce Harper is just the nicest dude. I hope he survives Philadelphia. That's where he chooses to go. And I'm like, I mean, I guess he's the nicest dude. Is he? Like, it's not that I thought he was a bad dude, but I'm like, he's never acted outwardly nice or kind during his time in Philadelphia. So I'm like, I guess he's probably...
I got to tell you something. Right? I feel like I didn't hear the last part of that question because it brought up a topic that I wanted to yell about for a second. So one thing we have learned throughout this process, every now and again, something gets blipped onto our radar. And lately it seems like it's happening with a little more frequency. So obviously Philadelphia has its reputation. The sports fans have their reputation. The press has its reputation. Howard Eskin tries to embody that entire, reputation by himself, by being an idiot all the time. He's the one who, yeah. And he's the one who was tweeting at directly Bryce Harper saying, I guess he was criticizing him, judging him for making it all about the money or something, which what the hell?
Thank God Harper's on Instagram for the most
what
part.
What the fuck
and
is free agency about if not money? But okay, whatever. So I bring this up because that's our reputation, and we've talked a couple of times about how, like, do you think this happens in other towns? Do you think this is normal? And this is actually, this kind of branches into the last two topics I want to talk about, because I'm sort of finding out that no, it's not. And occasionally you find out that there are different emotional ballparks in which people in other cities play in. And for Washington, a market that I'm seeing more and more of, because that's obviously where Bryce Harper is going to be coming from. And as we get closer to him signing away, I believe people are getting a little more and more emotional. Like, it's more and more real that he's not returning to the Nationals. They're such a bunch of doe-eyed opies in Washington. They are such little fanboys of their team. Like, have they ever been mad at their own team before? Like, they really, the way they talk about Philadelphia is so broad and cartoonish that they can only be learning about it through third person stories that they're told from other people. Like, they are so, they're just so, like, oh, he's a nice guy. They're good at, what that one guy said was like a coarse, corrosive culture in Philadelphia. Like, I don't even know what you're referring to. Are you talking about the Phillies locker room? Are you talking about the city and the surrounding suburbs? Like,
get out my face.
Like, get a grip.
My God. Coarse and corrosive. How dare they display that behavior in front of the women folk? Like, what is that? It sounds like it's from the Victorian era. Like, it's so ridiculous. You said cartoonish. It's, I went to college there. I lived there for 4.5, 5 years. That was over a decade ago now. So I don't know what it's like now. I was there just as the Nationals were coming in, and you couldn't pay anyone to give a shit. You couldn't pay. They were so desperate to get people to care about the Nationals that Frank Robinson, RIP, rest in peace, Frank Robinson, came to speak at my commencement, the commencement of the Columbia College of Arts and Sciences, the GW. He was our commencement speaker. I did not care about baseball at the time and do not remember anything other than thinking, what is this dude talking?
You suck.
Couldn't we get a celebrity like the rest of the schools? I do suck. I was a fucking idiot. I was dumb and a moron. I'm willing to admit it. College Liz was stupid, and she had yet to discover how great baseball was.
Yeah. And I mean, that's the image we're being, I guess, reminded of this. I've just seen so many, like, people from Washington media outlets take this just like view of Philadelphia being like Mad Max once you cross over a certain city limit. And, like, it's just a city, guys. Like, I love that it has some personality, and I love it because it's the city I'm from, but it's just like another fucking city in the Northeast where you drive in and the exit sign says Philadelphia, get off here for Center City. It's really not a war zone. And it's just so irritating to see, like, from top to bottom. I feel like so many writers who write about the Nationals are like just Nationals super fans, from Thomas Boswell, the guy, the very well respected Washington Post sports columnist who wrote the story that included that section about the anonymous veteran on the Nationals telling him to write that, saying write it to him, being like, oh yeah, but maybe it'll be a good thing that Bryce Harper and his missed cutoffs and his dogging it on a ground ball. I'm positive it was Max Scherzer, because Boswell talked to Scherzer for the story before that one. So I'm sure that was just a spare part.
I have never listened. It's just a, you know, we're not saying it's Max Scherzer, but I've never been a Scherzer fan. He's always creeped me out. I think he's a dick. And it's not surprising to me at all.
Someone who I think follows the Nationals more closely pointed someone else out, and I forget who it was. They suspected, I think it was a relief pitcher, but I don't know. I don't know anything for sure, but I'm very confident in my guess of Max Scherzer. From that to, like, obviously the TV broadcasters are known for being the biggest homers.
Oh, I was going to bring them up. That's what FBC and Angelo, like, they are the worst team. Like, that's my fiance and I are thinking about moving to the DC area, and the one thing that might stop us, which is terrible.
Are you kidding me?
We've talked about this multiple times. Like, would we have methods in place so we would not have to listen to the Nationals broadcast? Yes. Okay. Well, then we could move to DC, because it's having to listen to them when they play the Phillies 18, 19 times a year. I don't know what I would do.
I mean, you would just turn the sound off and put on the radio broadcast like a sane person, because there's no way you would get through a full season of listening to those guys. Oh my God. That's what it is. It's this, like, ever since the Nationals were in 2012, when they were on the up and up and the Phillies were on their way down, obviously there's some bitterness that came from that era, but that's long behind us now. It's just more around that time the Nationals kind of felt like they started that the NL East was just theirs by right at that point. And, you know, obviously they won it a bunch of times, didn't win much else, but they did win it a bunch of times with a lot of great teams. But, like, the whole, oh, Philly fans, you know, can't buy tickets to games at Nationals Park. And
The Natitude
era. Right, all that stuff. It was just such, like, poor kicked puppy, poor pitiful me stuff. And that just seems to have, like, penetrated every component to Nationals, but, like, the way they're covered, the way they're talked about, they're just like, oh, they've been running the division for years now, but they still feel like Philadelphia and Phillies are, like, these awful villains, which is just so stupid at this point.
Well, and it's just representative of, like, the superficiality of their entire franchise. Like, they have some storied history. They were the Expos. They were the Senators. Walter Johnson was a Senator. Walter Johnson, by one of my favorite baseball players of all time. And do they care?
Oh no, I don't think they care at all. They care when they
the Phillies cannot stop. Like, a lot of teams, not just the Phillies, the Yankees, even the Mets, and they're, you know, they were just created in the 1960s. The Pirates, so many teams can't stop bathing in their own history, which is fine. You know, that's why it's there. But, like, the Nationals, like, everything, you feel like every time you go into the park, you're going to just put your hand on the wall and it'll be like fresh paint. Everything is so new and so superficial. It's so strange.
Yeah, it is. At the same time, I do like it, because if there was no personality, there would be no. I mean, this is exactly the kind of thing I want in baseball. Like, I want something like another city's culture to get under my skin, because as a fan, I want to be able to react to stuff like that. And we can sit here and
their culture is a faceless corporate entity of a team. I've been to that park. It is. It has no personality. It doesn't have personality.
But we can sit here and insult them and feel good about it, because
yes,
we're just talking about a sports team. It's fine. And at the end of the day, they might still be better than the Phillies. But also,
well, and what are they going to do? Yeah. Fight back? Like, We know Mets fans. We know Braves fans. Like, I know fans. I don't know a Marlins fan. I know someone who works for the Marlins. That's almost the same thing. But like, I can name fans of most teams. I don't know a Nationals fan. I know maybe one Nationals fan, and I don't know if they care.
I've just
like, are they going to fight back? They don't care.
I just see them as a bunch of like, just the way that they get covered and talked about. It's like there's a bunch of passive aggressive teddy bears. Like that's the vibe they want to give out. Where it's like, I would
disapproving, angry
teddy bears. I would rather.
With their hands, arms folded in the corner, looking
angry. I would rather sit through an eternity of snowballs and Santa jokes than have that sort of reputation, because that's just, it's so grating and dumb. Speaking of other cities' cultures, Liz, we're going to close on this little bit, to this little novelty. So today I was just curious, and I tweeted out something that this helped me realize that maybe I think about much more than other people. But we talked about on Hidden Season how, and you guys did back me up on this, how distinct it is that Mike Trout is this well-known athlete, the best in his sport, whose fandom is also very well-known. Now, there's plenty of professional athletes who have team allegiances for teams outside of the city they play in, because, you know, 99.9% of the time, if you're a pro athlete and you make it to the highest level, you're not going to wind up in a city to which you have any emotional, sentimental, or blood relative attachment. So that makes perfect sense. That's not strange at all for that to happen. But I just feel like Mike Trout's fandom has become an entity in and of itself, where he's getting game balls, he's got season tickets, he's courtside at Sixers games. Like, this is very well documented. And part of that is because it's Philadelphia. They know we're going to eat that up. So our local media covers it very aggressively.
We like it when people like us.
And him being from, obviously, Millville, New Jersey, and growing up a Phillies fan, it's all very well known. But that's my point, that it is so well known. And I was trying to think of it from the reverse way, that if there was a very like beloved, I mean, let's just pick one. Let's say like a Rhys Hoskins or a Ben Simmons or somebody who was happy here and playing well for us and helping teams in Philadelphia do better. But at the same time and you gotta be careful here, because people said, well, if like Rhys Hoskins was a Cowboys fan, it would be upsetting, but this isn't that big of a rivalry. Like, the Rams and Eagles aren't big rivals, because I don't know if I need to say that, but Mike Trout plays in Los Angeles. And my question to people was, are you a Rams and or Angels fan who is upset that Mike Trout so proudly advocates for another team and city? Because I was just curious if that exists, because I felt like in Philadelphia it probably would. And honestly, the replies were mostly people who are Rams or Angels fans saying that no, like, it's just, you know, I'm not going to blame somebody for where they're from. And other people said, like, you know, I've realized how stupid it is to get mad about that kind of stuff. But then also Philly people weighing in saying, like, you know, I actually would respect him more for supporting the team in the city he's from. And like, I buy that. I'm sure that's true. I'm sure everyone who responded answered truthfully. But in the general sense, I still don't think I believe for one second that if Rhys Hoskins, if it was like playoff time and the Eagles were in the playoffs and they were about to, let's say, play the Chargers, and Rhys Hoskins was like on Twitter wearing a Chargers jersey, that doesn't get, in this scenario, he's from Los Angeles, that doesn't get poorly received. That doesn't get like a bunch of, that doesn't piss people off. Cause, you know, obviously Dom Brown pissed people off, being a Cowboys fan. Obviously Cameron Rupp.
It's because I think it's the Cowboys. I think it would be Cowboys or Giants that would really piss people off. That's what I think. Like, if it was the playoffs, that's a whole different story, because the city turns rabid into like a sentient, angry
feral
octopus.
We turn, like, feral. Yeah. Like,
yes. Like, that's a whole different thing. And I would actually love to see that. Like, if Hoskins, like, he's a Chargers fan. No one cares about the Chargers, to be honest. But, like, if he was a Packers fan, I was trying to think of what that would be like, because they're a very healthy fan base. So he would obviously, if he was a Packers fan, he would love the Packers. I would respect him for it. Like, I want everyone to be a happy fan of the place they're from and to really love and enjoy the sport. So I would be happy with it. It would be fascinating to see around playoff time, because I think it would be fun. I think it would be angry sometimes, but I think, you know, that would force the city to be a little bit more fun about it. If a beloved player was into an opposing team, I think that would force everyone to inject a little bit of levity into a situation that most people assume is like, or at least act like, is life or death.
You know, I mean, I think I got to close the book on this one. You know, I think I didn't really believe people would go like full on crazy, but I just felt like there would have to be a negative reaction. But every historical example, like I'm citing Don Brown and Cameron Rupp, these are two guys who never played extremely well for the Phillies. People were mad at Don Brown before they knew he was a Cowboys fan. So that's two factors that make that a different situation. I guess I don't think I'm wrong in saying that Mike Trout's fandom is higher level than any other situation where it's an athlete who has fandom outside of their city they play in. I do think that that is true.
I can't think of another athlete who is that devoted to another sports team as Mike Trout is to at least the Eagles, if not the Sixers.
But respect to everybody, certainly people who replied. And I'm looking at them again. I think I got 0% people being angry. Like, you know, you can make the easy joke of, yeah, okay, we're talking about Rams and Angels fans, of which there are not a lot. That's just undeniable. And that the sports culture in LA, especially with like the Angels are the second team below the Dodgers in that city. So that's already, you know, lower in prominence. And we all saw that video comparing the reaction of fans in Boston when the Patriots made the Super Bowl versus the reaction of fans in LA when the Rams made the Super Bowl. And it was just like, you know, people in Boston going crazy, people in LA, somebody gave someone like an aggressive shoulder grab. That's what they got. So obviously it's all different. And people were apparently very accepting of that. And I wasn't surprised to learn that Rams and Angels fans were like, I don't, you know, that doesn't matter to me. But people were also like, look, I appreciate that the best player in baseball lives a couple hours drive from me. And I'm happy about that. And we're going to appreciate him for as long as we have him. So it was like, all right, cool. People are different in other places, Liz. That is what I learned today. That once again, my perspective could stand to expand a bit. But yeah, and again, I've got no problem with athletes having, I don't think it's weird for them to have fandom outside of their own cities. I really do. I think Mike Trout's fandom is very distinct and unique and widely broadcast, but apparently everybody's cool with it.
Yeah, it helps that he's like the nicest guy too. Like he's, you know, he's not in your face about the fandom. He's just very devoted, and you can tell it comes from like a very pure place. It's not meant to. He's not doing it to show up anybody. Like he doesn't even say, you know, he's not one of those Cowboys suck Eagles fan. He's very go Eagles.
Man. You know how well he would do if he gave us a Cowboys suck once in a while? That would be. I think the Phillies.
It would be the greatest. It might be one of the greatest days in Philadelphia sports history.
I think the Phillies could just not play anyone in center field and just like keep it open for him if he wanted to drop by whenever. And like that could just be their center fielder that year. Mike Trout, if he feels like it.
Like Trout's hat. They can just have him send a game-worn hat and just put that right in center field.
Well, folks, these are the conversations we have during a slow off-season, but we hope that you're having fun listening to Continued Success as well as the other podcasts that are a part of the Good Fight podcast family as we've gone with you every step of the journey. And I don't know, Liz, you getting the feeling this whole Bryce Harper saga is going to end anytime soon? For some reason today, I got this feeling that we're circling the toilet here. Wow, that was a negative metaphor to use on a happy situation. But
I hope it ends soon. Oh my God.
But in any case, we'll be with you whether the Phillies sign Bryce Harper or no one. And Bryce Harper goes to live in the mountains for a couple of years. But yeah, definitely keep tuning in, subscribing, downloading, and rating our podcasts. And while you're at it, why not order the Baseball Prospectus Annual for 2019? It is such a fun comprehensive primer for baseball season. It always gets me excited. And that's not just because I wrote the essay for the Phillies this year and our own Paul Boyer at the Good Fight wrote the player descriptions, but it's a good compliment for any baseball fan as we wait the end of this very long, long off season. So thank you for listening. Liz, you have any final thoughts?
I do not.
Prolific.
Not tonight.
Prolific as always. We will talk to you next time on Continued Success.